It is indeed great to see you all this morning. Some I can see here physically, and obviously, as I look at the camera, I can't see you virtually, but I'm glad you're here as well. Thank you to those who've led us in our worship this morning. Thank you to those who've participated in our worship, and thank you to those who helped put on our worship today. It is great to see you all, and I am so blessed to be a part of the Azalea City Church. And I'm so blessed to be able to be here this morning presenting God's Word to you. And today I want to continue in our series of lessons on giving. As I told you just about 3 weeks ago or so, that we have entered the giving season, right? Right after Thanksgiving, that becomes that time of the year. And so with that being said, I wanted us to focus on giving. And I didn't want us to always look at it from a financial standpoint. However, that is critical, and we've talked about that. We've talked about giving when we know that God's going to not let the bin run dry, right? We've talked about giving of ourselves. I think it, first and foremost, if we do not give ourselves to Jesus Christ and be that living sacrifice that Paul challenged us to be, then we're not going to figure out any of the rest. You know, if we're selfish and we're keeping for ourselves, then we're not going to be able to do what God wants us to do. Well, today, as you can see, I want to talk about something that we all can give. I guess there is a question about, you know, and again, I think the widow with two mites proves that all of us can give something financially. But maybe the argument could be made that some do not have funds per se to give. But folks, we all have time. We all have time. And so today, I want to talk about that. But before we get into it, I want to remind you, just In a brief synopsis of that light that Toby talked about, of that Savior of the world that we partook of His bread and drank of His blood, as we did that today, I want to remind you just quickly what He did for us. And that's pretty much summed up in John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I guess that verse is quoted and used somewhere just about every day. But as I think about that and I break it down, it really truly reminds me that God gave His all. That Jesus gave His all. And part of what Jesus gave was time. Now, think about this. Jesus existed outside of time. Think about that for a moment. Let that hurt your brain for a moment. Jesus existed outside of time. He existed in eternity. And so where He knew no time, where He knew no darkness, where He knew no sun go down and sun come up and it be morning and a new day. He didn't know that. It was all eternal. But then He became a part of time to give His time so that we can be here today. Can you imagine tasting eternity and then giving it up so that you could die for the sins of the world? When I think about that, it really puts in perspective that if I say I don't have time for God, boy, shame on me. You know, and as I get there and I think about it, I think this will resonate with us if the other doesn't. What if today I told you that in your bank accounts right now is $86,400? Tomorrow, when you wake up, in your bank account will be $86,400. And that will happen from here to the time you're dead. However, the one caveat to that is this. Every day, you've got to use all $86,400. Now, right here at Christmas time, we're probably thinking, hey, that'd be pretty great, wouldn't it? You know, I could buy for this, and I could buy that, and I can have this, and I can have that. And certainly the selfish side of us, that kind of appeals to the senses, that today I can spend $86,400 and tomorrow know that it's going to be refilled right back up. Or maybe you like, hey, well, we can finally travel the world. I can quit my job. We can travel. And man, every day I'm going to spend $86,400 and it's going to be great. Or maybe you've got family members that need it and you can go and you can give to those family members. Or maybe you want to do good and throughout the world and you want to give that money and every day you want to be able to use that $86,400. Think for a minute. What would you do with it? Well, I can't promise you today that you're going to have $86,400. But I can promise you, if you're going to live throughout this day, and I'm going to live throughout this day, that we're going to have 86,400 seconds. From the time 24 hours passes, there are 86,400 seconds that we have to start every day with. There are a lot of people today that struggle with time management. We struggle with time management. What are we going to do with our time? Not necessarily even that. Where do we find the time? Because you know why? We are busy people. From the time the alarm clock goes off and you quit hitting snooze to the time your feet hit the floor, we're going, 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 right? And sometimes if you got small children, or small dogs, or whatever it may be, you're getting up in the middle of the night, and you're not sleeping, and you're not doing that, and you're tired and all. But we're going, going, going. And those 86,400 seconds, at the end of the day, sometimes we wonder, what did I do with them? Did I use them properly? Did I use them and manage my time well? Well, today, as Christians, I want you to know something. That of our 86,400 seconds that we have every day, it must be used to bring glory and honor to God. Every day of our lives, as we get up, our 86,400 seconds could change our life, as the sign says, but it can change someone else's. It can change the life of people if we will use it to bring glory to God. I want you to remember these important points that God wrote about when it comes to our time. First of all, Psalm 24:1 reminds us that our time belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Guess what? Everything in this world belongs to God. Now, please note that time, again, God is eternal. He's outside of time, but our time belongs to God. He created. Remember what He said in the beginning, right? There was a morning and an evening. And then there was another day. There was a morning and an evening. So God, when He set those firmaments and He set the sun and He set the moon and He put the earth and He tilted it on its axis and as it rotates around and then revolves around the sun, when He did all those things, He said, hey, I'm creating time and your time needs to belong to me. That's what Psalm 24:1 reminds us. But also, we're reminded that no one is given more time each day than others. Think about that. If we all live through each day, everybody has 86,400 seconds. God has given freely, and God has given fairly. He didn't give me 120,000 and you 80,000. No, He gave us all. If we live throughout the day, right? If I live to another 24 hours, I've had 86. All of us have had the same. Because that's how God is. He distributed equally. And then thirdly, we need to remember about our time that our priorities determine how we use our time. Think about that. Our priorities will determine how we use our time. Jesus Christ said it this way, but seek ye first, not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth, not 20th down the line. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, food, clothing, shelter, the blessings in life, will be added unto you. See, when someone says, hey, I don't have time for God, you know what they're really saying? Is my priorities are mixed up. God doesn't come first in my life. I have another God or gods before Him. I would have been the one taking the earrings and the rings and the gold and all and giving it to Aaron. and letting him melt down a calf while Moses was up receiving the Ten Commandments, saying, I need to worship this golden calf. That would have been me. That would have been you if we say today, I don't have time for God. We have time for what we want. And I pray that what we want is God. If that is not the case, I want to challenge us today to make sure we're using our time wisely. We're giving our time to whom it deserves. And today I want to talk about some categories of how I believe, as Christians, we should best be using our time. First, this morning, we need to make sure that we are giving our time to our Father. Matthew 6:33 again, it says it as plainly as possible. Jesus Christ's words, not mine, not anyone else's. He said, seek first the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to God. God should come first. After all, He is God. How easy is it today for us to worship? It's easy. And listen, I know you could say, well, we got these blue tape things on the pews and we got to wear masks and those at home, like, well, we're in a situation where we can't be there. But face it, folks, how easy is it? It's easy. We got in a vehicle that had gas in it that we were able to drive this morning to sit in comfortable pews in the presence of God in good temperature and in just a beautiful building, or we were able to sit at our computers or sit at our screens or sit at our TVs and sit there and worship in a safe place. We're able to worship our Father. But do you know, despite all that, some still struggle with giving God the time He deserves. What about Sunday school? And again, I know this may step on some toes, but it's only because I want to challenge us all in the giving season. Well, Sunday school's not in the Bible, Terry. Show me a thou shalt go to Sunday school. Well, I can't. If that's the way we're going to look at things, I can't show you that. But I can show you a scripture that says, if my heart knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Folks, I think I could sit here and convince you how special Sunday school is. And you know, we've tried to make it real convenient. There's a class in the fellowship hall. Our children are doing great things upstairs. Our babies have classes. Our middle-age adults and young adults have classes. Our teens have classes. And we even live stream one of those classes. But we still say, God, I don't have enough time for you to get up early enough to go to Sunday school. Shame on us. I mean, what else can we say? Right? What else can we say? One day I wake up and my teenager is lost. Boy, that hits reality, right? But unfortunately that happens. But one day if I wake up and my teenager is lost, the first thing I want to do is blame the youth minister. And oh, he didn't do enough activities with our children. Folks, he has class every Sunday and every Wednesday, even in a time of COVID. And shame on us for not getting them there. What about our children? What about these babies? What about us adults? And listen, if that sounds harsh, let me tell you, you know, I got to preach sermons that move, right? They're either going to move you or they're going to move me out of this place, and I'm fine with that too. Because the reality is this, if I do not put God first, and especially on the Lord's Day, then what am I doing? Well, then we could talk about worship, right? Now, I'm here today. You know, Terry can get off my toes for a minute if I didn't come this morning. And by the way, I have no idea who did or didn't. Please don't think I'm judging you. I'm just challenging us. But do you know, all right, today, and again, we're half capacity, you know, at best, right? But we also have it online. But do you know there are still people that won't get up and tune in and watch and participate? That's an issue. Especially when I claim to be a Christian, when I claim to put God first, when I claim to want to go to heaven, if I am not willing to worship God Sundays, Wednesdays, if I'm not coming, if I'm not participating, then what's getting the gift of my time? What's getting my 86,400 seconds, huh? That's a question we've got to ask ourselves. What am I doing with it? Are hobbies more important? You're going to hear me talk about the importance of hobbies in a moment. But do my hobbies come before God? Well, what about homework? You know, our children on Wednesday nights, we can't get back here because they got all this homework and all this virtual work and all this. And listen, I know they do. I've got two children. What about our jobs? Listen, I'm not talking about those who have to work, and I get that. That's a tough place to be in. You know, my brother, I'd love for him to be here 24/7. But in 4 weeks, you just heard him. In just a week, he's going to be gone for 4 weeks. That's tough. And I'm not talking about that situation. I'm talking about those who, you know, we allow our jobs to be on our minds, to be on our hearts, and to be more important. What about extracurricular activities? Listen, I love sports and other things as much as the next person. I really do. Maybe not as much as the next person. Because I've reevaluated some of that in my life. But I see the importance of them. Okay, I give a lot of time to try to help student athletes to be bigger, to be stronger, to be the best that they can over at Mobile Christian and even as some have asked me in other places. So I understand and I get it, but folks, it can't be more important than our worship and our Father. What's keeping us away? If I'm not giving God my time, then what is keeping us away? If we're going to please God, if we're going to be great time managers when it comes to what gets our time, then first and foremost, God must come first. But secondly, this morning, as I'm talking about what's getting my time, I believe we also need to give our time to our family. I think Justin and I could probably give you a lot of information today of how bad the family's hurting from a physical and a mental state. Let's face it, God designed the family, folks. If God designed something, do you know what He said? He said, it is good. He designed the family. He made man. He made woman. He joined them in the Garden of Eden, and He told them to be fruitful and multiply. That's family. That's the nuclear family. One man, one woman, and if they have children, that's what we call the nuclear family. But I want you to look up the definition of family in the society today. Now family says it can be anything it wants. But here's what God said. He said, fathers, mothers, your children need you. He said, husbands, wives, your mate needs you. We do not need to give our time to things that do not matter in the grand scheme of life. We need to give our time first and foremost to God, and we need to give our time to our family. You see, that's what is struggling today. We are putting so many things ahead of that. I used to tell the children when I taught them over at Mobile Christian that, you know, there are some people today that when they get off work, they won't go home. They won't go home, they'll stop at a bar, or they'll stop somewhere else, or they won't go home because there's chaos, and there's a lack of love, and there's a lack of misery, and there's a lack of fun, and there's a lack of joy, and by the way, all that's because there's a lack of God, right? But I want to go home. When I leave, and again, you know, I mean, with our phones and our offices in our pocket, we're never off anymore, right? But when I get off or whatever it may be, when I go home, I'm ready to go home. I want to see my wife. I want to see my children. I want to be with my family. Why? Because I want my family to know how special they are to me. But most of all, how special they are to God. The church needs us to give our time to raising a family that will get to heaven. I'll always argue, again, I spent about 14 years in youth ministry. I will always argue that youth ministry starts at home. It's our responsibility to do that with our family. Noah did God's work. We know that, right? Hey, Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. I'm going to baptize the whole world. I'm tired of the sin, okay? I need you to build an ark. I need you to build this giant floating vessel, this boat, if you will, that will be able to house one of all these animals and get as many people as you can on there. You know how Noah did that work? He did it with his family. You know who Noah got on the boat? He got his family. What a great lesson for all of us today. Working together, doing God's work as a family. It is important to make God a priority, but it's important to make our family a priority. I have seen children crying out for their parents' love and their parents' attention. Typically, if a child is misbehaving or a child has struggles and they're crying out or they're doing something off the wall that you think, hey, my child would never do that, chances are they're crying out for a reason. And we need to be alert to it. We need to listen to it. We need to observe it. What would happen in society today if the nuclear family, okay, the way God designed the family, would just sit down and enjoy a meal together every day? And at that table, you didn't fuss at each other. You didn't sit there and dread the dinner table being something that was designed to be beautiful and good, right? You know, if I'm going to fuss at my children every time they sit down and eat a meal with me, guess what? They don't want to sit down and eat a meal with me. So you can fuss outside the dinner table. You can fuss before the dinner table. But let it be your sacred ground. Let it be the time when you talk, when you don't put a device on, when you leave it away from the table and you look in each other's eyes and you carry on a conversation. What if that happened every day? And I'm just talking one meal a day. What would happen if the family would properly communicate together every day? I will sit here and tell you that I believe the number one problem in all relationships is a lack of good communication. I've joked this before that one day we're just going to text an entire marriage wedding ceremony. You know, children, you can get a phone for children today, and the good news is you don't have to put any minutes on it because they don't talk. They don't call. They text, social media message, whatever it may be, but that's where we're getting as a society. And people are having trouble looking in each other's eyes and carrying on a conversation. That is real life. That is real world. That's where we are. The nuclear family should never be that way. What would happen if our family prayed together every day? And I'm talking, hey, you know, that might mean, hey, I've got to get up a little bit earlier, or I've got to stay up a little bit longer, or whatever. But we circle up, we hold hands, and we have prayer together. What would happen in the nuclear family, God's family, if that was happening every day? What would happen if that family had a devotional together every day? Do you know that Justin writes a devotional every week? Do you know that? What would happen if that family did that devotional together? Well, I'll tell you, some of what wouldn't be happening today, what it would change. Kids wouldn't be out killing people. They wouldn't be out bullying. They wouldn't be out getting into evil. We wouldn't be fussing about who's the most popular or what. You know, we wouldn't have to worry about what they wore out of the house and what they were dating and what they were wearing and what they were doing and all those things, because we gave the proper time and the proper setting to the family. Thirdly, this morning, what are we giving our time to? Hey, this goes right along with the theme, right? As we're closing out this year, we need to give our time to focus. Psalm 46, beginning in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of our Jacob. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We've got to give time to focus. We've got to give time to be still and know and reflect that God is God. Life is busy. We've acknowledged that. Life is 86,400 seconds a day, but the busier we are, the quicker they go. We do need time to rest and relax and revive our hunger for God and His righteousness. That's what that time should be. A time when you cut the job off. A time when you cut the hobbies off. A time when you cut the sports off. A time when you cut the extracurriculars off. A time when you cut the devices off. A time when you cut off all the distractions of the world and you reflect as a family, as an individual, about where we are. I want to challenge us every day, every year at least, to reflect on where we are spiritually. We need hobbies. You need something that you can take your mind off of it. You need a vacation. We need a place where we can go and put the world away for a little bit. A place where we can turn the computers, the iPads, the cell phones, etc. off. We need to see God's beauty. We need to smell the flowers. We need to clear our minds of so many things that are clouding it. But if our vacations, our time to reflect, our time away, our hobbies, whatever, if they do not include God, guess what? We don't need those either. We need time. And we need to use our time to be still and know who He is. Finally, this morning, I need to give the time that I've been allotted to my Father. I need to give it to my family. I need to give it to focus. And I also need to give it to forever. Heaven is what it's all about. You see, I was put here on this earth to strive to get back to God one day. My purpose, your purpose on this earth is to please God, is to serve God, and one day graduate this life and spend eternity with Him. And if that's not my purpose statement for my life today, or something very similar, then I need to change that. Because let me tell you, it's not about bills, and it's not about money, and it's not about gifts, and it's not about hobbies, and it's not about COVID, and it's not about whatever else, okay? Or who's going to be president, whatever. It's not about all that. It's about heaven. Why do we preach hard about time? Because it's about not missing heaven. Jesus said, what does it profit a man? He gains the whole world, but he loses his soul. What does it profit us if we use all our time to make all the money we can, to have all the fun we can, to give all the gifts we can. But along the way, we leave out God. We miss our family because we lost our focus. And we certainly miss out on forever. Whatever we do in life, it's got to be with heaven in mind. Think about forever. Somebody said one time, I think it was actually Dave Miller who I heard this from. If you were to take a giant steel ball the size of the earth, and it was steel through and through, you allowed an ant to get on that ball, and you could train that ant to walk in a straight line, gravity not being any trouble or anything else, and allow that ant to walk around that giant steel ball as many times as necessary so that it finally wore a groove in that giant steel ball. Then eternity has just begun. You see, eternity doesn't have an end. Forever doesn't end. Heaven doesn't end. But unfortunately, hell doesn't end. Today, what are we doing with our time? Have we given it to our Father? Have we given it to our family? Have we given it to focus? Have we given it to forever? Today, I don't know how many seconds we have left. But what are you going to do with them? Maybe you're here today and you've not yet been washed in the blood. I can't think of for the life of me why someone would get in their vehicle and drive on a road not being washed in the blood of Jesus. It's the most important thing in existence. Be washed in the blood today. Or if you're here and you've mixed up your time, you've mixed up those seconds, you've given it to a lot of different things. Hey, it's time to change it. Time to get it right. We're not guaranteed tomorrow's seconds, but we are guaranteed right now. Let's take advantage of them right now together. We stand and sing.